question.
Yes. Munindra Prabhu from Italy.
Munindra Mohan Prabhu. Yes. Hare Krishna.
About Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Because we are reading it regularly.
Yes.
So sometimes Krishna speaks of himself, saying aham, like I am this, I am that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it seems that he's speaking in third person, as like that, especially
surrender like to the supreme
law, that absolute. Mm-hmm. Especially so he mentioned in chapter 13 when he speaks about the Paramatma. Mm-hmm. As the Supreme Lord that resides in every living entity. It seems that he speaks in third person. And in verse 1-4 of chapter 15, when he's speaking about the Asvatthama tree, he looks like he's quoting another scripture. So which kind of scriptures Krishna quote to reveal himself? And why sometimes he used I and sometimes that, mm-hmm. even if he's always him.
Yes. Then we have to try and understand who is Krishna, which is a very good thing to do. It's the best thing to do. It's the only thing to do. And that is an infinite project. We're happy about that. We don't claim ever that we understand everything about Krishna. So, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaking about himself in different ways. Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the book of Krishna, the science of Krishna, science of understanding Krishna. And in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Veda Vyas, one of the slokas given there, gives the foundation for understanding Krishna conception. It's Vedanti Tat, Tatvavidas, Tatvam, Yajjnanam, Advayam. Advaya Gyan means, knowledge of the One, right? And we shouldn't be afraid of that. The One means Krishna. Saying Advaya Gyan means there's this one thing to be known. There's only one thing you need to know. The Upanishads say, Yasmin Vigyate Sarvam, Eva Vigyatam Bhavati. Try to know that one thing upon knowing which everything is known. That means the absolute. The supreme absolute truth. And the language of Saraswati Thakur, the personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada's, he like, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because if we study this carefully, we'll hear in the Bhagavatam so many avatars of Krishna, incarnations, and even they can be categorized. Lila avatars, Yuga avatars, Guna avatars, Shaktavesh avatars, Manvantars. Many things to understand. So the Bhagavatam says, this one thing, this one substance, and God, although Saraswati Thakur, we're told he preferred Godhead, because God, when we hear that word even to this day, it invokes the Judeo-Christian God, the biblical God. Or as they say, Judeo-Christian, just, what was there and then the second version of that. That's why it's Judeo-Christian, right? Someone came along, well, not just someone, but came and said, all right, here's a new interpretation on what we have. And then that becomes, so Judeo-Christian, when we hear God, and it doesn't conjure the most... how do you say, benevolent imagery. There's a tendency from the Western point of view to think of God as a, the rod of chastisement, the punisher for the wrongdoers and that kind of thing. And that's there in the Vedic side of things. But interestingly, our acharyas point out, when it comes to Krishna conception, that's a secondary aspect. Vishnu, even when Krishna comes, Krishna Vrindavan, all this so-called demon killing is a secondary aspect. Right? Vishnu carries a Shankh, Gada, Padma, Chakra, carries the club and the chakra for that. But the Bhagavatam says in the beginning, so to understand divinity, Saraswati Thakur preferred Godhead. Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he preferred in most instances Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? I remember when at ISKCON Press they had acronyms for the typesetters. And you'd read these documents and it would always say SPOG. And I'm like, who's SPOG? Who is this SPOG person? But S-P-O-G meant, there you should type, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, then I just said, the SPOG person seems to be controlling everything. Yes, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think also this little girl, the first little girl to be named Saraswati, not the last. Daughter of Shyam Sundar and Malati, and Prabhupada liked her, like a 4-year-old girl or something. But he would say, she knows how to preach. She goes up to people and says, do you know who is Krishna? And they look, and she says, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, that is preaching. That's true. If you will just say, who is Krishna? Supreme Personality of Godhead. It'll be very clear what you're talking about, be beneficial for you, for everyone who hears. It says Advaya Gyan. But this one Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, who's emanating so many avatars, incarnations, etc., can be known in three aspects. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So at the very beginning. And it's not something peripheral, incidental, trivial. If 10 cantos later we're going to understand, Vikriditam Brajabudu Biridam Jabishnu Shradhan Bhito Anushranaya Dattavarnayedya, Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani and Brajagopis, if this isn't understood first properly, then there's going to be digesting these pastimes is going to be problematic. Right? Even why in the very sloka it says Vikriditam Brajabadu Idam. So who has pastime? It's saying Brajabadu means the Brajagopis. Vikriditam means the Madhura Rasa pastimes. But then the name Vishnu does not have Madhura Rasa pastimes with the Brajagopis. So sometimes Vishnu means God. Like here, it's instead of saying Krishna, in the event that you may think that when Krishna is referring to himself personally or he's mentioned, that he's not human-like, but human, then that'll be a disastrous way to conceive things. Vikriditam Brajabadu Brajabidubir idam cha Vishnu. So it's reminding us, these are the pastimes of the infinite, divine, supreme, absolute, Swayam Bhagavan, personality of Godhead. But Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So sometimes, we could say, according to one's position, they're being encouraged along the Brahman side of things, the, you know, that all unifying spiritual substance that's all accommodating, everything can be included, it's all inclusive. And the Krishna also says, what is it? Param Brahma, Param Dham, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam. He's the Parabrahma. Elsewhere, well, sometimes Guru Maharaj will mention, the Vedas, one can get this impression from reading Vedas, Upanishads, different points of emphasis. Because after all, they're kalpataru, the desire tree, wish-fulfilling tree. Like we sing the song every day about the Goswamis, Abhishta Puran. You know, you can render that. And, you know, taking the remnants of their lotus feet will fulfill all desires. We see this in different places in the book. We'll fulfill all your desires. That can be taken in different ways. Someone may think they're mundane desires, or their general spiritual desires, or deep in the heart's core, those sort of desires. What shall it be? So, in dealing with the Veda, there's that tree of Veda and fulfilling everyone's desires. I remember when I was on the so-called library party presenting Srila Prabhupada's books to university professors, and is that, I think, NYU, New York University, their librarian, I noticed they had like, we always examine the card catalog to see what their holdings are. They had Rig Veda. I thought, oh, here's a chance to read the original scripture of all scriptures. This is the first one, right? The original spiritual book. I thought, oh, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to open the page and it's going to be like, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. I'm saying like, it must begin something like that. Probably how Krishna, everything's coming from him, and it must be marvelous how it begins. And, you know, I open it up and I'm like, a few pages, seeing something around, Agni. Wait, and then some other devata. So I'll thumb through to like the good parts, you know. And I'm not finding Krishna anywhere, right? Because I'm not nana shastra vicharana yukunipuno sadharma sangstapako shastra nipun. Guru Maharaj says, the Goswamis are. And I'm, you know, I'm feeling like, why? What's going on here? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvairahangeva vedyo. See, when it sounds like he's quoting other, he's saying, in the Vedas, right? Vedantavit, Vedakrit, eva chaham. The Vedanta, the Vedas, all these books, they're about me. I was saying the other day about Nimai Pandit telling those girls on the banks of the Ganga, and those pastimes are very sweet, but he's saying they're worshiping Shiva and other gods. They want to get a good husband and a good life. And he's saying, the people you're worshiping, they worship like the water from my lotus feet. And they're thinking, Nehemiah, you shouldn't speak like that. You know, that's offensive. He's saying, no, I'm actually telling you the truth. These gods that you, they worship me nonstop all the time. And they're saying, oh, don't say, we don't want to hear these kind of things. He's saying, no, I'm actually telling you the truth. So in Bhagavad Gita, sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, shamelessly, Krishna is pleading with Arjuna when he says, it sounds funny, he says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Priyosime. Ends in two different ways. But Bhaktosime Priyosime. Yeah. Anyway, what he's saying, Arjun, he's saying, you know, you can trust me. And just shortcut, I'm telling you the truth. I'm everything. But no ifs, ands, or buts, as the saying goes. No, I'm everything. Ahang sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartate. That's kind of a shock to have, you know, someone sitting next to you. You're both sitting on the same chariot, you know, and he's actually driving. Who's driving, saying like, I'm the source of everything. So that's a lot to sort of get your head around, your heart around, the intellect. So Srila Jiva Goswami advised Achintya Shakti. See, if you're going to get involved with any thoughts about divinity, first thing, accept the premise. He has inconceivable potency. You know, like the teacher can write it on the board. Achintya Shakti, this is going to be on the test. Inconceivable power, because then all these, well, can, what about, wait, first get to the Achintya, if you accept Achintya Shakti, God, the supreme, you know, absolute truth, source of everything, must have inconceivable potency, that will dispense with a lot of questions right there, about can he do this, can he do that, why this, why that, those kind of things. So, inconceivable power. But here, the Bhagavatam, saying Brahma Paramatma Bhagavan, we find out that Brahma, like the Brahmavadins, those appreciating the spiritual oneness of everything, and there's a certain legitimacy to that. We're not here equating that with Mayavad. That's another thing. Brahmavad and Mayavad are not necessarily the same thing. So let's not deal with Mayavad right now, but just with Brahma, appreciating the spiritual quality, essence of everything. Like the Kumaras, we take, we're like that, and they're Leela pastimes. Then what? Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Misra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargatam Swavirena Chakaratesham Sankshobhyam Akshara Jusham Api Chittatanvo. They smell the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with the tulsi and the saffron, and this aroma transforms their existence. Right. This divine aroma. And interesting, this is not something that's insignificant or trivial. Because Guru Maharaj points out on that, with reference, like the Ashwatthama tree sloka you're also mentioning, that what we learn from that in a nutshell is the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. Branches downward, roots upward. The root of material existence, the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Is that plain? Everything's inverted. So here, as it moves from, you know, sound, ether, sky, ether, etc., what is that? Air, water, earth. Earth, punyo gandhak prativyam cha. Earth reveals aroma. So here, earth is the grossest element. Sound, most subtle, and the least subtle, the most gross, earth. But earth produces aroma. Guru said, it's the inversion in the spiritual world. Sound is, in this sense, its grossest aspect. That's why it's of utter importance to those where we are at present. It's every Shabda Brahma, that sound. And as it goes further in the Chintamani, Vaikuntyer Prithivyari Sakala Chinmoy, in the spiritual world, aroma holds the highest position, elementally. Right? And the Chaitanya Charitamritam, in the final sections of the Antya Lila, deals with the aroma of Krishna. So it's not something trivial. Actually, anyway, those Kumaras taken to be Brahmavadis up to that point, then their trance, their consciousness undergoes this miraculous transformation. They're imbued with Krishna conception. But when it comes to Paramatma, means Atma, the heading Atma, then, you know, Atma, Jiva, Jivatma, Paramatma. Wherever there's the individual soul, Jivatma, Jiva soul, Paramatma is accompanying the Jiva soul. So both Atma is there in both. So one, you know, super soul, oversoul, in different ways we can understand. And then it's mentioned in Upanishads, Dva Suparna Sauja Sakaya, like two birds sitting on a tree. In this example, the tree is like karmic activity. One bird, we're told, they look identical. One bird is eating the fruits of the karmic tree. That's the jiva. The other bird is observing his, it said like two friends. And the other bird is observing that jiva. And Srila Guru Maharaj says, in a neutral position of non-interference, the Paramatma does, and necessarily so, does not interfere with the will of jiva. And I was saying the other day, in a light way, that when Krishna says, "Sang moham sarvabhuteshu nadveshosti na priya," you know, I'm equal to all. I have no friends, enemy, like that. But I'm saying, but we know Krishna, as Krishna, he's not like that. Right? Krishna favors his devotees. Ahang bhakta paradino hyasvan tantra eva dvija. Although he should be neutral when it comes to dealing with devotion, he's not neutral. He favors them. So then we can understand the neutral position, the non-interfering, passive, neutral position of divinity or Krishna is Paramatma. So if he's giving advice to someone, in that case Arjuna, but it could be anyone, from a particular point of view, so when he's talking about that, he can have a sense of detachment, third person detachment, because it's not Krishna proper, it's, you know, an aspect of Krishna, right? There's no, Paramatma has no consort, right? It's not Lakshmi Narayan of the Vaikuntha world, or Sita Ram, or Rukmini Dwarkadish, or Mathuranath, Mathuresh, what does it speak? Brindavan, Brindavan Ahoyte Shrestha Govardhana Shoila Gandharvika Giridhari Jatakrida Koila. Superior to Brindavan pastimes, Govardhan pastimes. So just as in other parts of the Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, some think of the Supreme in this way, some think of the Supreme in that way. He speaks of his, you know, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjatam eva cha. How the most superior aspects of things that we can observe in the world, we can see that as him. Right? In relation, you know, what punyo ganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi viva, the light of the sun and moon. Right? Pranava sarva vedeshu, the pranava omkar in the Vedic mantras. Shabdake purusham nishu, shabdake, the sound in ether, purusham nishu means the ability in man. Like when we hear that people do something, everyone, they say, and this person just won, you know, 7 gold medals at the Olympics. Right? For that moment, they're Krishna. That person's Krishna, like Andy Warhol might say, for 15 minutes, everyone will be Krishna. No, he said, for 15 minutes, everyone will be famous. But it's similar. So when someone does something that it catches the world's attention, right? That's a type of vibhuti. And we're saying, it's almost divine. It is divine to a certain degree, because at that moment, in that instant, they personify what is supreme. So Krishna is saying, this is a type of culture also. So if someone says, oh, look at the moonlight is extraordinary. Like the other night on Gaur Purnima, we were looking at the golden moon. And really, I mean, it was visibly golden. It wasn't a fantasy. It was visibly golden. So we're looking, and even tonight, well, I don't know. I think so. But the moonshine. And moonshine is appreciated in so many different ways. Right? And Krishna says, rasoham apsukontaya prabhasmi shashi. Shashi means the moon. I'm the light of the moon. So when you're fascinated by the light of the moon, a devotee doesn't have to think like, oh, I shouldn't be into this moonlight. It's mundane. You know. No, you can say, oh, it's extraordinary. It's supreme in its own way. It's Krishna, the light of the sun. Extraordinary. Krishna. When I went with Avadhut Maharaj to Albuquerque, New Mexico, 6 years ago, was like the full dome, the seeds of full dome. And we're at the university there, and they're showing these shows. And one of the shows was the sun. But I mean, they're actually showing, I mean, a film of the sun with special filters, and you're looking at the sun. It's amazing. And we know how amazing sunlight is and moonlight. So Krishna is saying, that's a way of seeing me when you see those things. When you see the best of something or these things in nature, they are rasoham apsukontaya. The rasa of water. Prabhasmi shashi, pranava sarva vedeshu, shabdakeya, and many other things. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu. So, in Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna in that chapter, upadrastanu mantacha bharkta bhokta maheshwara paramat meti chapyukto dehesmin purusha pura. So he says, I am there as an observer. That's his observing position. And that observer means non-interference. Although we can say, if we want to get into some fine point, that, you know, conscience that sometimes some suggestion is coming to us through conscience, not to do this or to do this. Something, it's like a very conscious, it's a suggestion. But non-interference with the free will of the jiva. But interestingly, he says, but I can also force you. He's telling Arjuna. Better you come to these conclusions on your own, you know, but if necessary, I can also force you to, you know, to do these things. But generally, he's not. So, in one sense, if Krishna speaks about the Paramatma with some detachment, it's understandable because that's not him personally in the full personal representation of who he is. So, and we could say just from, you know, almost a chronological, numerical sort of thing, that's in the 13th chapter. When we get to the 18th chapter, that's where all of this, neutrality, equanimity, and equivocating stops. And as Guru Maharaj said, he's shamelessly pleading with Arjuna that I'm everything, worship me, become my devotee. The when he says, what does it say? Paramam bacha shrinu me paramam bacha. Like this is my parama guhyam me, the supreme secret. Now I'm going to tell you. After I've told you all these other things, now hear this. Here comes the supreme, most confidential thing I want to say to you. And that's when he says, give up everything, surrender to me, become my devotee, always think of me. Then he's not speaking of a third person. He's speaking very personally about himself. And Srila Prabhupada, he used to rail against these translators of Bhagavad Gita. And he said they would take Krishna's words and use Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for their own I don't even know what to call it.
Agenda.
So he said that this about this Dr. Radhakrishnan that used to make him very upset. First president of India, and I was at the Calcutta Book Fair, and I thought, saw this book next to our stall, and they had his Bhagavad Gita, and I thought, I just want to see what he actually says, to say why Prabhupada is so upset, and where Krishna is saying, give up everything, surrender me, become my devotee, and he said these words. I mean, I can't forget them. He said, it is not to the person, Krishna, to whom we are to surrender ourselves to utterly, but the unborn impersonal who's speaking through Krishna. Although, as Munendra is indicating in this question, he's saying ahang, all the mong, all these different words that mean me. He's saying it's not to Krishna. So, but if we look early in the Bhagavad Gita, when we say, namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama, those who can't, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanamasritam, such people who think like this, they're mudha. If you want to be polite, it means they're fools. If you want to get more to the point, they're asses. It's more like it. So, it's a question, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, and we find in Chaitanya Charitamritam, Like in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, again, it's mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Muyanti Atsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered by the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna, his human-like pastimes. So, Brahma, in his famous look, what was it? Narayana Stvam Nahi Sarvadehinam Atmasya Jantur. Okay, I forget the rest, but he's saying to little Krishna, big Brahma, forehead, little Krishna, he said, are you not my father, Narayan? And Kaviraj Goswami has Krishna saying, how can I be your father? I'm like, you know, 6 years old, I'm 7 years old. And he's playing with Brahma. And Brahma starts showing us how much he knows about different avatars and incarnations, the Chaturvyuha expansions, Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu, and I'm Atmabhu. Brahma's born from the lotus of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from his navel. So are you not my father? You know what? And Krishna's just, Gurudev once said, after hearing all these prayers and saying, then what did Krishna, how did he respond when Brahma's begging forgiveness and thinking maybe it's better that he had one, similar to Uddhava's sloka, he has his own sloka, but it's a little more, less specific, it's more general. Uddhava said he wants to be dust in the soil of Vrindavan, or a gulma, a creeper, a lata, braja lata. Like when we were in Uchagaon, Lalita, the house of Lalita, talking, there's some little children nearby. They attach themselves to, you know, visiting groups of devotees. They kind of tag along wherever you go. And there's this little girl, like, and I asked her, like, you know, after a while, I said, what is your name? And she said, Brajalata. I went, oh, okay. So she appeared more than a lata, I could say, and a papancha. But anyway, so Uddhava's praying like that. Brahma, tadburi bhagyam iha janma kim apyatavyam yad gokulepi karamangri rajabhishekam. He prays to be, to get a birth in Vrindavan, just so anywhere in Vrindavan, and he'll get some dust from the Brijbasis upon him. Uddhava is a little more specific. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur was saying, Brahma knows this is not going to happen. So he's saying just in a general way, but then realizing it's probably best if I go back to Brahma Loka and do my seva. So Gurudev said, as he's parting and saying, oh, what did Krishna, all these prayers Brahma's offering, what does Krishna finally say? Gurudev said, Krishna went like, he just tilted his head like, yeah, you can go now. So the Braja Gopis, they're not eager for Paramatma. Right, or the Parabrahma. Right. So the Paramatma, sometimes devotees confuse this. Paramatma, we're told, that is the goal of yogis. They're trying to connect with the Paramatma. Brahma Sangita says, what do devotees see in their heart? Do they see Paramatma when your the eyes are anointed with pure devotion? It doesn't say that. It says, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintaguna swarupam govinda mari purusham tamaham jami. They say, you know, yang shyama achintaguna swarupam, back to where we start, achintaguna swarupam, the inconceivable beautiful form of shyama sundar Krishna. That is their target. In the 11th chapter, Virat Rupa, Krishna shows that universal form to Arjuna. And it's so mind-blowing that Arjuna is somewhat fearful. And praying for, like he's had enough. And we're told, Taneva Rupena Chatur Bhujana. Krishna assumes a forearm Vishnu form. And Arjuna starts to become more calm. But then at last he shows what he calls his Somya Rupam. Two arms, human-like form. And he says, this is the form that the greatest souls are ever eager to have a glimpse of. Reality, the beautiful. When Mahaprabhu says to Venkatabhata, why is your Lakshmi want to have rasa with my Krishna? He's saying, well, Siddhanta Tattva Vedepi Shri Shu Krishna Srupayo. Narayan and Krishna, ontologically, philosophically, more or less the same. But Krishna, for a particular pastime, showing this way, Narayan another way. Mahaprabhu saying, oh, okay. But why is she not allowed to enter into those pastimes? Whereas others are, who don't even appear to be as qualified as she is. Kashyanu bhavosya deva vidmahe travangri renu sparashadikara yadvanchana sri lalana charatapo vihaya kaman Suchitam Dridhavrata. In the Tapovan and the forest for where you execute penance, austerities, Lakshmi Devi, for lifetimes performing penance to try and get entrance into Rasa Leela and not given admission. Not wives of Kali, but our husband, who not too long ago was offensive, now he's got the dust of your lotus feet that is sought after by so many, and how fortunate he's become. Lakshmi Devi tried, and she couldn't get, now he's covered with us. And then Mahaprabhu says that, and so on the one hand, she wants to have rasa with Krishna, but we see the Braja Gopis show no apparent interest and Narayan. So what does it speak of Paramatma? Right? Narayan of Vaikuntha, Narayan of Lakshmi and Narayan fame. They're not interested. Right? When Krishna plays that joke, they're searching for him, searching for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful. And he pushes out two more arms and showing four like Narayan, and upon encountering him, the Braja Gopis are disappointed. It says, Rago Daya Kunchiti, the rag in their hearts, Kunchiti, it's crushed. Those sentiments are crushed. And they say, you know, Namo Narayan, you know, have you seen Krishna? What are you saying? So Lakshmi Devi wants to enter, cannot. Braja Gopis encounter Narayan and have no interest. So Krishna, what to speak of the devotees, we're told, you know, Balaram is attracted to Krishna, Vishnu is attracted to Krishna, and Krishna is attracted to Krishna. When he sees his reflection in the jewel column or in a mirror or in a picture, he becomes so enchanted that he said, suddenly I have sentiments similar to Radharani's. Who is this person who can cause this? And just to make a point, we can say, Krishna of the Gita is Dwaraka Krishna. Kurukshetra. So, somewhat aloof, or we say from a position of detachment, he can speak as if he's talking about someone else. But actually, as he tells Arjuna, I'm everything. He's also Brahman, Paramatma, and everything in between. And he was Vaman, the Shringa, Kurma, Matsya. Also. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavis Tabiryeva Nijarupa Kalavi. Nijarupataya Kalavi. Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So we could say when Krishna is speaking of an aspect of himself, he may speak in that way, but when he's speaking of Krishna, proper Swayam Bhagavan Krishna becomes more personal. Ahang, I, me. And we're so removed from the truth that it's mind-blowing for us to consider that God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can say, I or me, the way we can. We deny the Absolute that possibility.